Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. No, it's not Wednesday night. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. We just are having shows all week this week. It just worked out that way. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and that is one of my all-time favorite songs by Parnell Williams called Happy. And there's a very good reason for that song tonight. We'll get into that in a minute. But one of the reasons I am so happy today is, y'all know I love numbers. I live for numbers. They excite me. Even though I sucked at math. But anyway, that being said, my goal, when I started this show back in July of 2016, my goal was to get to 80,000 listeners. And I didn't care if it took me a year or 5 years. I just wanted to get to 80,000 listeners. Don't ask me why I picked that number. I just did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this morning when I ran my numbers just for this show, we are at 80,264 listeners. That's just this show. And I want to thank Australia because they are a big listening base. And their blues band, the Teskey Brothers, love them, love them, love them. If you haven't heard them, no, you can't go now. You got to wait. But they are a mixture of Eric Clapton and Johnny Lang and B.B. King and Robert Johnson and Otis Redding, all rolled up into a nice, neat package. So after the show, go look them up and get the, they should have been brought up on Bourbon Street. That's how good they sound. Now, when you add this show that with all the podcasts that it goes up on, and for those of y'all that have been sleeping under a rock and don't know, this show goes up on iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube and FM.com and TuneIn Radio and Podcast and SoundCloud, MixCloud, Podcast Garden, and Spreaker, and some other oddball podcasts that other people put it up on. Well, when you add all those podcasts to the show itself, we have reached a total of 100,200. I am so excited. It's not my show, ladies and gentlemen. It is your show. It is you, the listener. It is you, my guest. It is your show, and I am so grateful and so humbled that y'all have continued this journey with me, which was a five-year dream. Now, that being said, on January the 5th at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, tune in to your television, whatever channel Investigation Discovery comes on, because I will be on Married with Secrets. I was credited with being a consultant on that particular episode, and it is about Gerard Schaefer, who was Florida's first serial killer before Bundy and before Danny Rollin, and it talks about my book Silent Scream, which is about his victim. Tune into that show. Now then, before we get with our guest, which I'm so excited to interview her, and I will tell you how I met her. On advertisecast.com, if you go on there and go on off the chain, you can advertise on this show for like pennies. Seriously, pennies. I will run your ad for a solid month on however many shows I have in that month. Normally I do from Wednesday to Saturday, but if I happen to do an extra show or two, I will run your ad. And my guest, God love her, that's how I met her. She sent me an ad, and I said, want to be on the show. And author Diane Moat jumped on it. She is an author, a nurse, an attorney, and a dog rescuer, and I don't know what she does in her spare time. She was born a Yankee, and we don't hold that against her, because when she traveled to Nashville as a tourist, she loved it so much she didn't leave. Not only did she not leave, but she's been down south for such a long enough time that she is now a Southerner by design. She says y'all and you guys interchangeably. So for her 50th birthday, Diane decided to venture into writing. What started as a small project produced the first dramatic novel, Doggone. The story combines her love of animals with her fantasy of being able to stop animal abusers. After Doggone came a young adult novel, Guardian of the Way. Thoroughly bitten by the writing bug, Diane began her middle grade series, The Supernatural Pet Sitter, and that is the book that I advertised for her for a month. I got so excited about that. This award-winning children's series follows the adventure of a young gnome as she pet sits magic animals. And what's so funny, ladies and gentlemen, is on nights that I was extremely tired, the way the ad was written, it was like a tongue twister. And some nights, I could barely get it out. It got right comical. A family series for all ages, the third installment in the series is scheduled for release in February. Yes, I'll be bringing her back. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, Diane. Thank you so much for being on the show. And good evening, Aunt Carol. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Yvonne. Good evening. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome.
Congratulations on those great numbers. We love those folks from Australia.
Yes, we do. We do, we do, we do. So, before the show, we were talking about how you and I met and what happened when you sent me that ad. Tell the folks what happened and what you saw after that ad when it ran.
Yeah. So I loved the fact that you actually took the ad and you put your own personal twist on it, and you really helped support it for that month. And my sales just took off that month. My sales are small enough, and I'm new enough that I could really see the difference and could actually count those books. So I really appreciate your support of artists and writers, music singers. Just thank you.
You are so welcome. That ad was such a fun ad to do. And when I would come on the show after, because my husband's disabled and some days are worse than others. Some nights I don't sleep at all. So I'm up for like 36 to 48 hours. And by the time I get to the show, I couldn't speak English, much less do that tongue twisting ad. And it got pretty comical there, but we got through it. And I just love the title. So before we talk about your wonderful books, please tell me how in the world you got to be here. I mean, author, nurse, attorney, and dog rescuer. Now, nurse and attorney are two professions that are not easily achieved. So did you split yourself into a clone? Did you start at 5 years old? How did you get here, my friend?
Well, as you know, as someone who waited to go back to college until you were a little more than 20, I did the same thing. And just waited. Because aren't you a bounty hunter also? Didn't you go back to college?
Yes, I
am. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So we can swap stories about how many different jobs we've had and how they all combine. But really, the nursing, I wanted to do something more. And my family and my Aunt Carol can attest to this. I've always been a pretty good arguer. So law just seemed to come naturally. And I went to law school at night. And now my day job is something which combines both medicine and law, and tries to look at events and tries to improve the quality around events and make things better for patients. So that's my day job. And when I was looking at turning 50, all of my friends were doing these exciting things at 50. One of my friends even climbed the Himalayas. Well, that's what I said. Anyone who knows me, though, knows that I won't even climb on a step stool unless food is involved. I think the Himalayas was out. And I kept thinking, what could I do? I'm an adult now. What could I do that's different? And as I kept creating a list of things that I like to do, reading kept popping up. And you can answer this also. I truly think that folks who love to read are also great writers, that the two just go hand in hand.
Yes. I totally agree. And some people
can I
don't
interrupt
understand
you for a minute?
Yes, ma'am, you can. Go right ahead.
Okay. Diane is talking about her life. She has failed to put in there that she took care of her grandmother until her grandmother passed. She had a sister. She had a sister that she took excellent care of and took care of her through her bad times. She lost her mother. This woman has gone through hell and back again. And I am the only relative left. And I am so, so very proud of Diane for what she has done. Her and I have come a long way, and she knows how much I love her and how much I admire everything she has gone through.
Well, so, Diane, that's a testament, honey.
So we haven't even gotten to the family support yet, okay? All it takes is someone like Aunt Carol or a friend, somebody who just encourages you. And that is really invaluable when you are either starting out or you suddenly are 50 and you want to try something new.
When you turned 50 and you saw all of your friends, now why anybody would, A, want to climb the Himalayas in all that snow and cold, I question their sanity, but be that as it may, did you feel that it was time to reinvent yourself because you were getting into a rut and things that you wanted to do, you didn't want to as they say, be at the end of your days going shoulda, coulda, woulda.
I think that's exactly right. So by 50, you have established your career, you've done the responsible things, you've planned for retirement, you're being a good citizen and checking all the boxes. And I think really at that time, we all start to say, I want to do something maybe a little wild or maybe a little different or something that's not going to further me in my career, but is something that my heart tells me it wants to do.
And something that defines you and your uniqueness. I mean, we can all march to that same drummer, and we can all play that same song, and we can all die being boring as hell.
That's right. That's right. No boring. Let's not be boring. Yeah.
And I don't think you want to be. I refuse to be boring.
No, that's not what we want on our tombstones, is it?
No.
I was looking around. Oh, go ahead.
No, finish.
So I was looking around, thinking, what would I do? So that's part of the struggle, right? Is how do you figure out what that thing is? And I was doing a lot of animal rescue, and we would hear these horrible stories. And people would say, man, if I could only get my hands on that person for 5 minutes. Haven't you ever heard somebody say that, you know, when some horrible thing comes on?
Yeah, I've said that where people have hurt other people. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll just send it out there into the universe, and I don't even have to be around, and karma will bite them.
Yes. I hope when it bites him, it's a big Doberman.
I like that. Or even a pit bull.
Or a pit bull. Or a chihuahua. I have 4 chihuahuas, and let them take a piece of somebody. So,
oh, absolutely.
So that's what I started to think about, was what if someone actually acted on that? And I don't encourage being a vigilante, but that seed of a thought just grew. And I've heard you doing interviews where you've talked about when your characters or their voices have started to talk to you and you've had to stop what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very much like that. It was suddenly there was a story there about someone who was just normal to start with and then went down this path for animal rescuing and just crossed the line. And before I knew it, there was a chapter, and then there were 2 chapters. And then there was a book, and it was just amazing. I really encourage folks to try to write if they've ever had any interest in it. I think every single person has a story in them.
If, as a child, and you were plotting your career path, as we do as children, you know, one day we're going to be this, one day we're going to be that. From the time that I can remember, I always knew, because Have Gun, Will Travel was big in those days, and Western bounty hunting shows. And that's what I wanted to do. But of course, growing up in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, you didn't do that. So I had to wait until I turned 54 and get a nasty divorce and go to college and get a degree in criminal justice and say, okay, I'm doing this now, and if y'all like it, fine. If not, fine. So as a child, did it ever enter your mind to write a book?
I never thought of writing, but I read everything I could get my hands on. That's part of what sent me down the path for the children's book. As a child, my grandfather always had a Zane Grey book. You remember those little paperback books?
Yes.
That were the Westerns? He
yep.
always had one of those. We were always reading things. And I remember when he died when I was 12. And that summer, I spent the summer at the little tiny town library and read everything I could get my hands on. And I wish back then we could have been encouraged like we are now to do what we want to do.
Well, and that's true, because, and I'm sure that your Aunt Carol can attest to this too, there were certain things that women just you didn't do it. I mean, sure, during the Civil War, there were 300 women that dressed as men and fought on both sides of the war, and some of them were even POWs. But they had to dress as men. They couldn't be women and fight. I mean, now we have women in fighter jets and in combat. So I think we were hindered because of our gender on one hand, but on the other hand, I think that once we reached that magic age that you and I reached, we were able to look back and say, it doesn't matter anymore. We are unique and we will do what we want to do and we will lead the charge for girls behind us that feel they can't.
Amen. I think what you and I and Aunt Carol, as you said, learned at 50 or 55, we will hopefully have the intuitive for five-year-olds. So 5-year-old girls across the world know that they can be astronauts and they can be authors and they can have, you know, do anything.
Anything they want to do, if they're willing to sacrifice. Now that's another subject. Are they willing to make the sacrifice? And if they're not willing to make the sacrifice, then maybe they need to do something else, because it's not an easy world out there on a good day, much less
on a
bad day.
That's true. And I think that people might not appreciate things as much if they don't have to sacrifice for it. What do you think?
I agree. Carol, weigh in on this. You're sitting there awful quiet.
I'm just listening.
I love it.
I believe Diane can do anything that she puts her mind to.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm a little old to be an astronaut now.
She put up with me for a couple days.
That's good, Carol. That's good.
Well, this is true. You know, that's me. I say it the way I see it. And
well, now we have to figure out what to do. We have to figure out what to do at 60 and 70 and 80.
Well, let's see, at 60, what did I do at 60? When I was living down here when I turned 60. I was already a published author. What did I do? I did something at 60. I'm not sure what. But in the last 3 years, I have started up two more businesses and the radio show and continue publishing and look after a husband who's disabled. There's got to be something else that I can get into, and I'm sure that we will find it.
Parachuting.
Well, I had that on my bucket list. And a guy that I used to date years ago, he jumped out of a parachute on New Year's Eve and his chute didn't open and he hurt himself really bad. And I said, never mind.
Yeah, that's probably something I'd cross off also if I heard a story like that.
Yeah, because they jumped out at night and all the others are coming in, and I'm saying, okay, where's he at? Well, he was laying out in the field where his chute didn't open until like 350 feet from the ground. I said, well, you dumbass, did you pack it right?
Oh.
I wasn't very sympathetic, but oh, well.
Well, if you want to climb the Himalayas, I can get you connected.
You know, I'm just not into snow. And
yeah.
I don't breathe well.
You don't breathe well at the higher altitude?
No. I mean, and you get lost, and you get snowed in, and people don't find you till spring thaw, and then it's too late. So, and I would have to eat a companion if we went up there and got lost and the companion died. So,
nah,
the disadvantages outweigh the advantages in the thrill.
Yes, and the cold water. If I didn't have hot water, I would just head back down.
Forget that.
Well, it's cold up here now, so.
Yeah,
well, it's
north.
Cold.
We're down south.
Well, I'm cold in Florida. I've been cold for 3 days. God can turn the heat back on. I moved to Florida to get out of Georgia where I couldn't stand the cold, and it came down with me. And I want to know something, my dear, speaking of the South, since you are now a Southerner by design. What was it about Nashville? Yes, you are. What was it about Nashville that made you want to stay? Because I know true Southerners, there's nothing like our hospitality. You get the best plate when you come to visit. You get the best bed. You get the best silverware. You get the nicest cut of meat on the table, because that's how we're taught to treat our guests. What made you decide to stay in the South?
Well, believe it or not, part of it was the weather. So I don't want to shovel snow off my roof. I just think that is not something human beings should be doing.
I agree.
So that was one. And the people here, and Nashville is a great city. It is. Great from a business standpoint. It's no matter what you want to do, Nashville has it. It's not just for tourists. It's got great hospitals, great education, and I just love the people. And the people are so welcoming. You can also drive out of Nashville for 45 minutes and be in the country. And
yep.
I love that combination and have never regretted it and just have loved every minute of being here.
And of course, Nash, have you been to the Grand Ole Opry?
Oh, sure. I've done all the tourist attractions and have seen them multiple times over the years as it's changed and really grown, I think. And country music has adapted and changed and really expanded.
And the thing about Nashville is, like, you get the heartbeat of the city is the artistry.
Oh, yeah. And if you walk down the streets of Nashville at any given time, there are really good musicians just out on the corner playing the guitar or singing. And they are quality. It's not what you would expect. And it really is the heartbeat of the city. It's just music and that friendliness and the talent.
I want to know, have you made a trip up into the Great Smokies?
I've been to the Smokies. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was driving there for the first time, I was with my ex-husband at the time, and he was driving, and I was asleep. And I woke up, and I thought we were in the middle of a fire. It really is. It really does seem like smoke in some areas.
Yeah.
And the way the fog and the air just can lay through those mountains, it is a little interesting and a little eerie if you're not used to it. It really is the Smoky Mountains, and it's beautiful, beautiful.
And if you go back and study the history, that was the home to a lot of the Indians, and they are the ones that name those mountains.
Well, it's a perfect name for them.
I miss them. I used to go up there to get reborn, if you may. It there's something about being up there in the quietness and the wildness of it all and the awesomeness and the magnificence of it all that unless you've been there, you don't understand it.
Yeah, I agree. And Tennessee has a lot of areas like that just are mountains and beautiful, and you can whitewater raft or you can rent a cabin or you can go hiking. I think it was very surprising to me when I came here just how much you could do outside and how much history there was.
Oh, absolutely. And some of that history is getting lost in all the muck and mire and stupidity of human beings. But if you go back and you talk to some of the older Tennesseans that live in that area that have been there for generations, and you ever want to do a historical novel for that part of the country, they are your best resource.
Yeah. Lady, I am going to have to say goodbye. My phone is beeping.
Okay, my darling. Well, thank you for joining us, Ms. Carol.
Thank you for having me. And Diane, love you to the moon and back, darling.
You too.
Keep
Bye-bye.
Up the good work. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Annie. So, that was sweet of your aunt to call in. That was just precious. I love that. So, we never know what's going to happen on the show, Diane. That's why we call it Off the Chain. We never know.
Live interviews.
Exactly. That's why it's live radio. Now, let's get back to your books. What in the world made you write Guardian of the Way? What is that book about?
Well, Guardian of the Way was after Doggone, and Doggone was so serious and really talked a lot about animal abuse and just was, for my first book, was a really heavy book. And I wanted something that was a little lighter, maybe instead of crime and something more true to life, have something that was more fantasy. And I thought I would try something in the young adult realm. So Guardian of the Way is about a lighthouse which holds a gateway to other worlds. And generations ago, the guardian of the gateway was killed, leaving the way shut tight. And the story is about a young woman who finds out she's the guardian of the way. And she has to survive and make it to the lighthouse. And the whole story is around her getting to the lighthouse and folks who help her and the adventures along the way.
Was this book based on any particular thing that happened to you, or was it just one of the many voices that was dancing around in your head?
Well, I don't know about you, but I've always loved lighthouses and just think that they are fascinating and their history, and there's something just moody and different about them. So I wanted to do something around a lighthouse and have thought really that in a fantasy world, a lighthouse could be more than just a lighthouse. So from there on in, it was just the voices, the many, many voices.
And let me ask you this. Do you have the same problems that the rest of us have, that if you don't listen to them, they go to sleep?
Well, they either go to sleep or they get cranky, one or the other.
That's true. They do get cranky. They get very cranky, extremely cranky.
I think if you don't listen to them, at first they get cranky. And then if you continue to not listen to them, then they fade away. And we should never let them fade away.
No, because then you can't get them back.
There are some voices that have come and gone so fast in my head, I'd like for them to slow down so I can grab them and use them a bit longer.
I know that feeling. I do. Now, tell me about the supernatural pet sitter.
I made you say it again, didn't I? That tongue twister.
Yes, that tongue twister.
So after the Guardian of the Way, I really enjoyed doing that. It was more lighthearted, and but I thought I wanted to try something for the 12-year-old who I was when I was spending the summer at the library and had learned that books could give you an escape. And books could really send you to another place, and wanted to write really to that person, to me, really, when I was 12. And I've always liked gnomes. Now, the little yard gnomes scare me, I think, as my friends can tell you. But the gnomes in stories, I think they have gotten kind of a bad rap. Everybody loves the beautiful elves and, you know, these attractive fantasy creatures. And I thought, what would it be like to be a 12-year-old who is a gnome and stays short while everybody else is is getting taller. And at the same time, how can I put animals into that world? And thought of her being a pet sitter, but being able to speak to magical animals. And that was it. We're off after that.
And in your book, The Supernatural Pet Sitter, the animals are even different. They are not your run-of-the-mill animals.
No, that's true. That's true. There are several of the characters who are familiars, which, as some folks will know, are the animals that help witches. And a familiar is attached to a witch. And so those can be all kinds of different animals in this world. And so I tried to have some fun with it. And there's a tortoise who's magical. There's a skunk who's magical. And so, yes, they're all different animals who Pepper can speak with. And they each have their own fun character.
Now, you put out a second book, right, on the supernatural pet sitter.
I did. Pepper had so many adventures that she just had to keep going. So in the first book, she chases down a magic thief who is stealing the magic from the animals. And actually, the magic thief chases her in the very end. And she is rescued or helped by some werewolves. And in the second book, she realizes that the werewolves are actually cursed, and so they can't become human again. So throughout the book, she's working on finding a cure for them, even though there are some other magic users who don't want her to find that cure. And it's a very family-friendly book and a very family-friendly series. So really, it's her entire family gets involved in the adventure and figuring things out and racing to find this cure for the werewolf.
Now, I have never heard of werewolves being written into a children's story and a cure being found for by a child. This is indeed a twist on werewolves. I love it because it exposes children to werewolves without them being scary.
Right. No, these are not scary. They're really wolves who think like people. And so the wolves were really helpful, but they want to be able to change back to people. And Pepper takes that very seriously and feels like she owes them and goes through a lot to try to help them.
Now, what is the age range for the Supernatural Pet Sitter series?
Good job. I'm going to see how many times I can make you say that today. The age range is really, I would say, 8 and up. It does have some scary parts. No one dies. There's no language. There's no sex or anything like that. But it is an adventure. And so I think under 8, can be a little scary at times.
Well, the Little Red Riding Hood was scary, and we've read that one to our children for years.
Yeah, and look how they turned out.
And there's Hansel and Gretel and the witch's house. And so I would venture to say that, and children like to be scared, not frightened out of their wits, but I have noticed that children enjoy a little scary story. It's healthy.
I agree. I think as long as the scary story gets resolved, so it's not some scary thing that continues to frighten them. There needs to be some happy ending for them. I think as kids, they deserve that happiness. And so, yes, have a good scare. We all went through the Halloween haunted houses, you know, when we were little. But then at the end, come out of the haunted house and go home and have some pizza.
True. Very, very true. Now, what I want to know is, writing for children, was it something that just came natural? Was it something that you I don't want to say comfortable with, because obviously you are, but being able to write for children is a talent within itself. I could never do it. When I first started writing many years ago, I thought, well, I'll write children's books. Yeah, okay. That did not end well, because I don't think like a child.
Instead, you went down the serial killer pathway.
See? I
little
did.
Little different.
A little bit.
I went at the children's process really the same as adults. I just took out the language and some of the crotchety old people stuff. and I think you still need to talk to kids like they're smart, and you know, don't talk to them like they're babies, and really just write as if they're human beings. And it was surprisingly easy. Maybe that just speaks to where I'm at in my maturity level, but it didn't seem that hard.
Well, I guess when I started, this was way back in the 70s, and I thought, well, you know, I want to write, maybe I'll write children's books. Well, then in the back of my mind, I'm taken back to first grade where we're reading the Dick and Jane series, and I'm bored out of my gourd because I finished the book before most of the kids got past the first page. And I'm thinking, I can't write junk like this for these kids. They'll shoot me.
Yeah. I really wanted something that was similar to the old Nancy Drew Hardy Boys, you know, where it was fun, but it was still family and no politics, no hidden messages, just fun.
I never read those books much. They bored me. I was into serial killers at 12 years old. I mean, what can I say? When I was in seventh grade, I had to read In Cold Blood, and then I had to read Helter Skelter. So,
man, I bet you gave your English teacher fits.
Oh, I did. In fact, I had to do a book report on Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, right? I'm in seventh grade. And she wanted to know which killer, this was the Alday family down in South Georgia, which killer was the most guilty, in our opinion. Now, when you ask me for my opinion, of course I'm going to give it to you. Well, I turned in my paper, and in my opinion, the accomplice was more guilty because he didn't do anything to stop it. He went along with it. Well, she turned it back out to him and said, no, this isn't right. Well, you asked for my opinion, lady. So I redid it and said, well, they were both equally guilty. And she gave it back to me and said, no, this still isn't right. Well, it's my opinion you're asking for. So, yeah, we
were
mad
at her.
We went round and round. I finally said, okay, here's your opinion. The killer, the one that did all the killing and the raping, was the most guilty. She said, yes, that's right. Why didn't you just write my paper for me? Just write my paper for me.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me what my opinion is and I'll write it down?
Exactly.
Right.
I never forgot that. As long as I've been away from that, I never forgot, because that book gave me the love for what I do now, because I wanted to get in their minds. I wanted to understand why they did what they did and why the one refused to be stand up and say, I'm not doing this, I'm not going along with it, and do nothing. So I guess like you in the dog rescue and doing the things you do, that had a subliminal impact on what you do today as far as writing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it sounds like she actually taught you an unintended lesson also about opinions and what people really want.
Exactly. So you know what I do? I do the opposite.
Do the opposite. That's right. That's right.
I mean, we can march to their drummer, we can beat our own band. I mean, I'd rather beat my own band. I know you would, too. I mean, look at you, a nurse, an attorney, and a dog rescuer. And did you become a nurse because you were driven to it, or was it just a natural thing for you to do, because your aunt said that you looked after your grandmother and then you looked after your sister, and God knows how many more people like me you probably looked after. So was it a natural progression for you to be a nurse?
It was a natural progression. Nursing is fascinating to me because you can really go into any field you want to. If you're a night person and you want to work night shift, if you want to do administration or quality, or if you have a love for oncology and cancer patients, it is such a wide variety and really has something to offer for anyone. I started in the emergency department, labor and delivery, and then the emergency department, and I am still trying to figure out how to get some of those emergency department stories into a book. So that'll have to come at some point. Because every person who walks into the emergency department has a story themselves.
Oh, yes, they do. I'm surprised you haven't already done that. I mean, you would never run out of material just in the, especially if it's a high-profile emergency room.
Yeah, I'll probably have to figure out how to change the names, right, and the stories and put a little twist on it. But it'll be there at some point.
So what is your next project? Because I know you've got some projects out there. What is the next thing that you're working on? Is it more children's books? Is it more adult? Are you going to take a different path? Inquiring minds have to know.
Well, thank you. I'm working on the third installment for The Supernatural Pet Sitter, and it helps if you say the title fast. You have less chance of messing it up if you just say it all together. And Pepper and her brother and her family now find out about the trolls. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's called The Rescue. The third one will be The Rescue. And so I've got that almost complete, and we'll start getting that through editing. And just put a book through Kindle Scout. Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard anybody who's done that?
Not Kindle Scout, I haven't.
Well, you submit your book, and then they put it out there for a month, and people vote on it and whether they would be interested in it. And then Amazon or Kindle really looks at the votes and looks at your book, and they then let you know whether they'd be willing to publish it for you. So
wow.
I'm in the very anxious waiting stage of a magic romance book called A Hand of Magic. And so that was on Kindle Scout for a month. And if they accept it, I'll work through them. But if not, I've got a cover, and I'll try to get that out also in the spring. So,
now,
yes,
that,
the voices are active.
Is that more of an adult book, or is that still another kids book, preteen, teen, young adult?
It's more of an adult book. It does have, you know, sex in it and language and some more violence, really. Nothing too hardcore, but I think it will be a little too grown up for a young adult. Although some young adult books I've seen are way more grown up than I am.
Oh, yes. Okay, so now you have to tease our listening audience, because they're going to want to know, okay, what is this book about? Because they're going to be looking for it. And, of course, you'll be coming back so that we can talk about it and maybe launch it in May if it doesn't go out before then.
Thank you. I would love to do that. The Hand of Magic is about a healer who is on the run, and she rescues a werewolf puppy. The alpha of the pack offers her protection from some were-snakes. Have you ever heard of were-snakes?
No.
They're kind of new. Oh, well, you'll learn all about those. But the alpha of the pack offers her protection, and she's got to decide whether she can trust him and he can protect her. And it's werewolf versus were-snake with some sex thrown in.
Oh, that should be interesting. Now, where in the world did you get the idea for the were-snakes?
Well, I'm terrified of snakes. As anyone who knows me will tell you, if there's one that's a fake snake, a rubber snake, I will be gone. So for me, they are really, in a fantasy world, they would be the epitome of the bad guy. And since this is a book about werewolves, I thought, what's an enemy of a werewolf? And that would be a were-snake. If you can picture a big snake who's smart as a human, there we go.
Interesting. The visual in my head is frightening.
Yes, that's the idea. So she's on the run from those were-snakes, and this very attractive alpha werewolf comes to her rescue.
And you thought you didn't have an imagination. My goodness, girl, I can't wait for this one to come out. And Kendall Scout would actually be remiss not to take this book, because fantasy werewolves and magic is the hot button in the writing world now.
Well, that's what I think, too. I've told them that, but we'll see what they think.
Well, if they don't like it, then I'll just hand you over to my publisher and let her put it out there for you.
Okay. And then I'll be back on the show. I think maybe have four series running at the same time.
That would be amazing. What is Hand of Magic going to be a series as well?
Well, I can't quite tell. Did you know that your books were going to be a series?
No. In fact, the only series that I've ever written, well, and it's not even written, it's still in the planning stage, is the Lily Rose, and it was supposed to be one book, but the more characters that kept coming out, I'm thinking, I can't put all this in one book. Well, then Lily Rose got pushed aside because Jean Lafitte popped his little head up and says, oh, Cher, it's my turn. I've been sitting here forever. And I'm going, I'm in an interview, Lafitte, go away for now. I was talking to Sherry Rensselaer, and all of a sudden Lafitte's talking to me, and I can't even listen to Sherry on the show because he's arguing with me. So I'm not sure if Lafitte will wind up being a series or not, because most of my books are standalones. Because when I'm
I think it needs to be a series.
Jean Lafitte? Oh, he's a pain in my neck. I'm going to series him. I'm going to send him back down to the bayous. Between him and Marie Laveau, they won't shut up. I'm telling you. Got to get through the silly season so I can get back to writing about them. They keep me up at night arguing over who's going to talk next.
Do you keep a dictation machine next to you, or a recorder, or, you know,
I have a journal.
These voices.
I have a journal.
Okay. Because you just write really fast.
Yes. I just, and then it, in the middle of the night, things pop up in my head, and I'm too tired to get up and write. I'm saying, I'll just go to sleep till in the morning. I'll take care of it in the morning.
Can you imagine if you did a sleep study, if you went to the hospital and they hooked you all up for a night and, you know, looked at your brain waves through the night?
They would think I was possessed or something.
Yeah, they would want to admit you. Yeah, they would
probably
let you go.
And I'd have to tell them I've already been certified. I'm not crazy. People have already told me I'm not crazy. I passed all those tests. In fact, I came up on the high end of the intellect scale. it gets crowded in my brain.
Well, that's why you've got to write more.
Keep writing. Okay, and just keep writing. Just keep writing. It'll all come to fruition one of these days.
And they have to get tired eventually.
Well, yeah, that's what happened with Lafitte. See, I worked on that book for about 6 months, and then he went dark, and then I wrote another couple of books, and then he was still dark, and then I started on this series, and he says, oh, no, Cher, here I am, I'm back. Guess what? You got to put Lily Rose on the back burner for a while. So I'm saying, okay, fine.
Have you ever written two at the same time?
Yes. When I wrote Silent Scream, when I was researching and writing Silent Scream, which is the true crime, I was also writing Brilliant Insanity, which is a suspense, but it's about a serial killer.
Oh, and you didn't get the two confused.
No, because in Brilliant Insanity, it's told from the serial killer's point of view in first person, and you know who he is, but you don't know how he did what he did until the reporter gets in prison to talk to him. But you know, but he's telling the story. In Silent Scream, it was the story of the victims, not what school they went to or their favorite ice cream, but the what happened to them. So, no, I never got those two confused, but sometimes there was a war in my head.
Sometimes they had to duke it out.
Yes, they did. Now, you're not going to believe this, my friend, but it is almost time for our hour to be up.
I can't believe it. Let's go 2 hours.
What did I tell you before the show? Did I not say you would be saying that? It happens every time. Every
well,
time.
You've made this so easy and so much fun. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you for the pleasure of your company. I was really excited. What I need for you to do, if you will, is tell the folks where you can be found. No, y'all can't go now. You got to wait. Where they can find you and where they can find your books.
So if they just go to my author website, www.dianemoataauthor.com, so that's DianeMoataauthor.com, and that has all the links to the books, and I would love it if folks would sign up for the email, and I'll keep everybody updated on what's coming next.
And she's also on Facebook, folks, so check her out on Facebook. Now, I'm going to tell you this, but don't hang up when the show goes offline because I got some instructions for you. But I wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming and spending an hour with me because it's been a blast and for advertising with me and the product of that and the outcome of that just makes my heart swell with pride for you.
Oh, thank you. And I really recommend anybody who is looking for advertising, especially artists, you just did such a great job in personalizing my books, and just it was priceless, but the price was really very, very inexpensive for what you gave me for it.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's not my, I mean, I like making money, but that's not my main motivation. My main motivation is to keep independent artists out there. And yeah. We're heard in over 70 countries. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
I can only speak Yankee and Southern.
But we're heard in places like Sudan and Russia and Japan and Finland and Italy and England and Scotland and Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Brazil, of course, Australia, Canada, of course, the good old USA. So you were getting exposure in places you didn't know you would be getting exposure.
Wow. Well, next time I'm going to have to brush up on some, I'll make it clean, but I'm going to have to learn some words in some different languages to speak to these folks.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, author Brenda Hunt will be here. On Thursday night, the return of author Wayne Zrell will be here. He has a new book. Friday night, author Violet Howe will be with us, and on Saturday night, blogger Donna Antonia will be with us, and blogging is very important in our world. It is extremely important. And remember what I say. I'm not going to give you all of them, but your smile is your logo, your personality is your business card, and how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed your trademark. People will forget what you look like. People will forget your name, but they will never, ever, ever forget how you made them feel. And with that being said, I want to thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Diane for spending an hour with me. It was and Aunt Carol, thank you, Aunt Carol. Too bad you had to hang up. And so join us again tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, here on Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and my guest, Diane Moat, author, and I bid you a wonderful, wonderful evening. And don't forget to join us again tomorrow night when we once again will be off the chain.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, the show's now off the air, but everything we say will show up in the archive show. But what I wanted to tell you is this. Once we hang up, I will, and the show goes up into archives, I'm going to put it on my page. I'm going to tag you in it. I want you to take this show, and I want you to put it everywhere.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I'm going to put it up on SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast.com, and Podcast Garden.
Oh, my God.
That's just the five.
I'm so excited.
That's just the five that I put it up on. And then it automatically goes up on Stitcher, FM.com, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and YouTube. And
wow.
And what I'm going to do in the five that I put it up on, I will put the link up on my page, and I will tag you in it. And if your Facebook is linked to Twitter, when you share it, if you'll do hashtag and put Off the Chain, Blog Talk Radio, your name, books, interview, it will automatically integrate to your Twitter account.
Okay. I will do that.
And this is my gift to you. Take all these podcasts and use them.
Yeah, I will.
Because I
cannot tell you what this means. I mean, you've had some folks on your podcast who are just huge and are just famous, and it is so hard as a new independent author to get any sort of exposure. This is, I truly cannot tell you what this means and how much I appreciate it.
Honey, you just made my heart burst.
Well, it is, you know, what I didn't say was on the radio was just at 50 to do this is such a big chance. You know, it's such a big risk. And I have been overwhelmed by just the generosity and the support by people. And you just put the cherry on top of all of that. And, you know, you will never know how many lives you touch doing this, truly.
Well, thank you. It's humbling because this was, a 5-year dream. And the dream was, because I cannot go and do events anymore, I do one event a year, that's in Cocoa in June, and that is all contingent on how my husband feels because he is completely disabled. So I cannot leave him to go and do events for any length of time.
Yeah.
So when I started, I knew that day was coming. So when I started planning this show, I thought, how can I make it work, not for just me, but for all of the people that are out there that wouldn't have this exposure if we didn't have the show. And this thing has just grown exponentially because of y'all.
Well, but you've done it. Like, you've not only been successful in doing this and successful in growing it, but you've been successful in giving us this platform. Like, that's just amazing. And just, I think, a testimonial to your hard work in getting here in only 2 years. I mean, some people do this their entire career and don't get to here.
It's because they don't work at it.
Yeah.
It has to be a passion.
Yeah, from having somebody in your family who's disabled, you know what work is.
Yes.
You know?
And I've been working since I was 5 years old. So to me, this is just something that you do. I mean, if you've been at, my brother, who was, I don't know how much you've done deep dive on me, but I have a brother that's mentally challenged. He's physically challenged and mentally challenged, and to him, failure is never an option.
Yeah. Oh, we should have talked about that. We'll do that next time, because my sister was physically and mentally challenged, and she died a couple years ago.
Really?
After a lot of struggles. So,
go and look up my book, Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option.
Dreamcatcher, okay.
You will appreciate it.
Okay. I will.
And yes, we have to have this conversation on the next show that you come on. You need to write a story.
Oh, man. That would be even harder than doggone.
No, it wouldn't. Let me tell you, it's a catharsis. Trust me, because I was the oldest of five. He was the under me. I was 13 months old when he was born, and I was sent to my grandmother's because he had boils on his head, and I started bopping him over the head, and mother didn't know what to do. But it was a catharsis when I wrote the book. My mother said, "Stanley, how do you feel about Yvonne writing your story?" Now, my brother's 65, and he said, "I'm glad because now people will understand me."
Wow. Wow. Oh, all right. All right. I will get it, and I will be ready to talk about it on the next show.
Well, I want you to think seriously. Think about writing your sister's story, because those stories impact mothers and fathers who have children today that are challenged, and they feel like they're A, all alone in the world, and B,
yes,
there's never going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And there is always a light, because our unique children have a purpose.
Yeah, and she was always so kind, no matter what. It's just, it's amazing to me how sometimes the people with the hardest struggles can be the kindest.
Exactly. Oh, we have so much to talk about the next show. And when you come back, I want you to say, "Yes, Yvonne, I've started putting it together." I'm telling you, Diane, it is so, when my other brother read it, the brother under him, when he read it, he called my mother in tears.
Oh.
He said, "I never understood the struggles that y'all had."
Wow. Wow. So that had an impact just even in your family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not a sad story. It's a story of tragedy, struggles, successes, triumphs, and never failing. And
yeah.
And when we say failure is not an option, what we're saying
yep.
is not to have at least tried. That is a failure. If you try
right.
and it doesn't pan out, you didn't fail.
No, that's not failure. I agree.
So, yes, I think you should write your sister's story.
Well, she does have a voice in my head all the time. So
well, I rest my case, Your Honor. I think you will feel at peace.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought. So, any other recommendations or like things I could improve on?
Oh, you were an excellent guest.
Oh, I felt like I was stumbling, so I need
get
better. I'll get better.
No, you were yourself. That's what Off the Chain is about. You've heard me stumble because my tongue doesn't work when I get tired.
No. Well, you were such a huge help in keeping the questions going, and you'd think you've done this before.
Once or twice. A time or two. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, well, you know, I've got you locked in now to listen every night that you're on, so I can't wait to hear tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be fun. And call in if you want to. Call in and ask friends a question.
I'll call in. This is your Aunt Carol.
And I will send you some dates for May, and let's set up some times. I've got some other people to set up too, and we'll set up some times for May and get you back on. And
okay.
Seriously, consider writing your sister's story.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to tell you what, if I am always here, and I will always have your back, and I will always encourage you, and it will be. It will be a journey, but it will be a journey well taken.
Well, thank you. And the same for you. I know we've just met, but if you ever need anything or you need to just talk or bounce something, you just call me.
You're a doll.
Yeah.
You are
well, we got to all support each other in this world, man.
Absolutely, my darling, absolutely. Well, I'm going to get off from here and get this show up in archives. And thank you once again for spending an hour
with me. Thank you. Thank you. And I will talk to you soon.
All right, sweetheart. Good night.
Bye-bye.